Well, I hope you've enjoyed our little journey so far into this book. It's been good for me, I would just say it. Normally, I'm just ahead and reading different things, but 1 Peter has just served me well to just look at a lot of different things and just to kind of be able to look at our world and where we are. So I hope you have found it as helpful as it has been personally for me, just this journey we've been taking through this book, which will probably be just a few more weeks, just till we finish up and work through that. So we have been telling you all about this man by the name of Peter. His story begins as Simon, a fisherman in Capernaum, the man who denies Christ, but ultimately is the leader of the early church and dies as a martyr. And last week was all about this idea that following Jesus is an invitation to stop searching and start thriving. The big idea last week was this whole idea that you are not missing out following Jesus. I know it looks that way, and reading other people's Instagram stories, and oh, they're having all this fun, and I'm just missing out. You are not missing out following Jesus. And sometimes we just got to be reminded of that over and over again, because that's just how the enemy will play. You're missing out. Stop doing all this church stuff. Just go do what everybody else is doing. No, you don't have to do that. 1 Peter's all about this study of what it's like to live as a Christian, as a Christ follower in a non-Christian world. And part of that is I don't need to search anymore. I can start thriving in following Jesus. So hopefully you've been tracking with us and following that as we have been learning this big idea together through all of this. So you can follow along in your YouVersion app on the events page. All the scripture we're going to be looking at today is in there. You can also join us for Bible readings each week. Those invitations will probably go out this afternoon if you'd like to join us in looking at kind of where we are in 1 Peter throughout the week. So here's my question this morning. What is the purpose of your life? What is the purpose of your life? And sometimes, we can just be honest, we don't know how to answer this question very well. We just don't. What's the purpose? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? And I will tell you that one of the things we get confused in this idea of purpose is the word calling. Calling and purpose are two different things. Okay? Callings can be for specific seasons and places, and purpose is what our entire life is supposed to be about. Callings are really, really helpful because when things get hard and difficult, you can fall back on, no, this is what God has called me to do, and this is where God has called me to be right now. That is incredibly helpful for me. Most of my pastor friends, we talk about this. We go back and remember the times that God called us to be a pastor, right? There's lots of other jobs I'm sure are less stressful, maybe. I don't know, right? And it'd be easy sometimes just to go do something else. Except this is what God has asked me to do right now in my life. That's what he has called me to do. Is that calling for the rest of my life? No, it is for currently right now. He has also called me to be here in Indianola at Thrive Church. That is all a part of this idea of calling. Could that calling change? Yes. Purpose doesn't change. Your calling can be for seasons. Okay, so if you're a parent, I'm sorry, you're called to be a parent. Okay, that's the way it is. That's what God's called you to do during the season, depending on the age of your kids, what that season looks like. So don't confuse calling and purpose. Because if you confuse these things, all of a sudden, you just start living for the wrong things at times. If you get this confused. The purpose, as Peter's going to help us understand today, and really remind us, you've probably heard this before, he's going to remind us of this. He's actually going to talk about calling in a couple weeks when he has to address the church concerning elders. And I think this is going to be really helpful for us as a church. Then he's going to talk about calling, a specific calling about being an elder. But today he wants to give them all a reminder of what is our purpose. What's our purpose? What are we supposed to do? What has God asked of our entire life? So calling, purpose, don't get those confused. It's very easy to do. All of callings are for different seasons, different times. But purpose is permanence, what our entire lives are about. Okay? here's the problem with purpose. Without purpose, we drift and live our lives for things that do not matter. That's just what happens. So I'm sure if we could, right, get back in a time machine and we could talk to Charles Darwin and we could ask him about his theory of evolution and his book, The Origin of Species, what started evolution out, right? I'm sure if we could ask him about that and we could find what his motives were and we could talk about his childhood and how rough it was and how so much of his life pursuit was going against God because of the way he grew up. I'm sure we could ask him, he thought, I'm just finding another way to explain everything outside of God. I doubt he would have any idea the collateral damage of what happens when you do that. What happens when you do that is everybody loses their purpose. Well, I'm just an accident. I'm just a random grouping of subatomic particles. That's all I am. Apart from God, that's all I am. I'm just a big accident. And we forget that that drives and that takes away somebody's purpose. And that's just an unintended consequence of what somebody thought they were doing and pursuing, that it had this unintended consequence. So, when we did the Heal House, I get this message, and I'm told, okay, so the name of your church is going to appear on a plaque. What do you want to say under it? Right? I had to think about that. We were actually gone on vacation, and I said, can I have a couple days to think about this, to pray about it and say, okay, what would be good? And so if you went to our open house, if you saw the plaque on the door, you can go to Facebook and you can see this plaque, it says something. You know what it says? You're made on purpose and for a purpose, okay? Because I wondered how many people are gonna walk in that room thinking they're an accident, they're a mistake, and they need to know, first of all, you were made on purpose, you are not an accident, you are not a mistake. And the circumstances of your life currently do not dictate that you don't have a purpose. They actually say you have purpose in spite of what has happened in your life. And so it became, I think we need to remind people, you were made on purpose and you were made for a purpose. And because without that, we just drift and we start living our lives for things that really don't matter. Peter. He knows they need to be reminded of their purpose, and we would look 2,000 years later and say, we need to be reminded of our purpose. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, you can jump in with us. We're going to start in verse number 7 and look at a few verses today. For the culmination of all things is near. Now, I love it when I'm reading scripture and I read something like this, okay? Because they're thinking 2,000 years ago, man, the world is a mess. Jesus is coming soon. That's what they thought. And we're reading this 2,000 years later, it's going, man, I think it was bad then, Peter, okay? You should see it now. And he just reminded him, do you understand? We put our hope in Christ. And at that point, they just thought, listen, the culmination of everything is near. He says, so what? That's true. If it looks like the end is near, you need to be self-controlled. You need to be self-minded for the sake of prayer. There's some things you need to say no to. There's some things you just need to say yes to. And you need to be in the right frame of mind so that you can pray during this time of what God would have you to do. And then he's going to kind of just stop and he's just going to, it's almost like he's just going to give them some reminders. It's kind of weird, but in the midst of this, he just wants to remind them of some things that possibly they could have forgotten. But look at this one. Above all, keep your love for one another fervent, because love covers a multitude of sins. So he's reminding them, hey, in this time, right, we're nearing the end, things are going to be difficult and challenging. Whatever you do, church, love one another. If you just get that right, you will change everything. Whenever you see this language of one another, it's always talking about believers. It's always talking about the church. It's always talking about people following Jesus, that we are kind of commanded, we need to love one another. And then he gives us why, because love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't say covers up a multitude of sins. It covers. In other words, it takes care of a lot of things we could easily divide over. In Peter's day, if they got mad at one another, they didn't go to the church across the street or across, they just didn't, it wasn't there. They had to figure it out. They had to work it out. They had to figure out how we're going to love one another in the midst of everything happening and going on and taking place. So he says, above all, keep your love for one another fervent, because love covers a multitude of sins. I'm going to remind him of something else. Show hospitality to one another without complaining. Some of you have been doing that this week. Some of you will be doing that this week, as we've been helping Julie during this time by bringing meals. Last night was our turn, so we took dinner over to Julie last night. That's a way we show hospitality to someone who's going through a difficult time, who's struggling right now, and we can do that. And he says, what? Do that without complaining. That sometimes hospitality, it just makes life more difficult, and we've got to do extra things, and so we can find ourselves complaining. He says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to just make it a point that to one another, you're going to show hospitality. You can do whatever you can for each other, loving one another, showing hospitality for one another. Again, just reminders, things we probably already know, but things that he wants us to be reminded of. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the very grace of God. Right? You're just shifting into, okay, there's some things we do for one another. Love is not a gift. And you can just say, sorry, I don't have that gift. I'm not loving anybody, right? I'm just not going to do that. Nope, love is not a gift. He would say hospitality is not a gift. I want you to be hospitable and welcome one another and help one another. But then he says, guess what? God gives gifts. And in those gifts, you should use those to serve one another. And when you use those gifts that God has given to you to serve one another, you actually just steward God's grace. Say, this is God's grace at work. So this morning, those who are helping up here, who are leading us in worship, they're taking that gift that God has given to them, and they are using it to serve the church. And we're so grateful, aren't we, that people will do that. They'll take those gifts and they'll use them and they will serve the church. And we get a blessing out of that, that people do that. You all have gifts. You all have gifts. You all have things that God has given to you to do. And he wants you to use them for the church, for the sake of one another, to encourage one another, to help one another. So are you doing that? Are you using what God has given to you to help you serve one another, to help you encourage one another? Are you actually using your gifts? And that's what you just encourage them. Listen, time is near, right? So love one another, help one another. Take those gifts that God has given to you, and I want you to serve one another out of them. Whoever speaks, right? Because some are going to have that gift. The gift to speak, the gift to teach, let it be with God's words. It says, you don't make anything up, just go to scripture, right? Just go to the words of God, help everybody understand them, help everybody connect with them. If you could simply do that, that would be huge. You don't have to try to make stuff up. You don't have to try to get fancy with it. It's God's word, it will speak out its truth. Whoever serves, do it with the strength that God supplies you. So in other words, everybody serving. When we serve in different ways, when we volunteer in different areas, we don't do that. I got to figure it out this week. You don't know the kids I have to help out on Wednesday night. They're tough. They're difficult. What happened to us leaning into the strength that God gives us to do that? Okay? When we're serving and when we have those opportunities to serve, it's not I just got to figure out how to do it. I lean into God's grace. And I lean into his strength, and I have the strength to do what needs to be done. What if we just did that? What a difference that would make. And it would probably make a difference, if we could be honest, in our attitude. It would probably make the biggest difference, wouldn't it, in our attitude of serving? If I'm leaning to God, okay, you're going to have to give me the strength to do this. I want to do it well. I want to serve well. I want to help those that I'm serving. So I need your strength. I need your grace, because maybe I don't have it right now. And we just lean into God, and he gives us everything we need to do what we do. So often burnout happens because that's not what's going on. Because there's times where we're not following what God wants us to do. That's when burnout happens, because we're not leaning into the strength that God gives us to be able to serve. So that, Why did he give us kind of this laundry list? Because he's going to tie it all to our purpose, so that in everything God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the point of our lives. That is the point of our life. That is the purpose that every single person in the room that we share, that God will be glorified in our lives. That's the goal of our lives. That is our simple purpose. How do I live my life so that God gets all the glory? Right? Because that's how he ends it here. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So he says, why is that the purpose? Because God's the only one that should get glory. He's the one that created everything. He's the one that gave us everything. He's the one that gave us life and breath. He should be the one getting all the glory. And our lives should be about always pointing to him. As I love what Mark Hall says from Casting Crowns, is I am not the point. I'm just here to point to the point. And the point to the point is the what? To point to Jesus. And to point to the glory of God, and that is where our lives are lived. So you could take people that you admire, and part of what you admire about them in their Christian walk is maybe their calling, but on top of that calling, it's they're just living out their purpose. They're simply pointing to God. That's what they're doing. So Friday, a group that we got to see, I think it was the last concert before COVID. Okay, that's what I think it was. It was after a basketball game up in Des Moines, at Wells Fargo Center, and it was I Am They. I don't know if you've heard of I Am They. Okay, if you listen to 107.1, you've probably heard of them. Okay, and so it's literally like the last concert before everything got shut down and changed. And so we absolutely love them. And so the other day they released their new album. And so they're sitting there talking about, the songs on the album and putting them together. And so they're explaining their gifts, right? Their callings. They have all these gifts to be able to sing. Some of them, the group, have gifts to write music. But on top of that, the overarching thing of everything was God is going to get all the glory out of this. It's not about us. We're not pointing to ourselves. We're not saying we're awesome. We're saying God is awesome. And it was just a reminder to me, that's what this looks like. We acknowledge our gifts, we acknowledge what God is doing in our lives, we acknowledge that God is calling us, and yet this overarching purpose is that our lives should always point to Jesus. Say, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, this is who I am nothing without Christ. And when we have that purpose, it just helps give a lot of focus and clarity to our life in a world where things can get incredibly, incredibly confusing, and we're not sure what to do. See, your life is to be lived for something far bigger than you. And for some reason, I'm just going to tell you, this is where we veer off in our culture, okay? That we either live our lives to give God glory or try to take glory for ourselves. In fact, this is a word that gets used at times. All right? This is a word that gets used. I remember a special I watched on the Olympics once. They called it 16 Days of Glory. Like, why is it 16 Days of Glory? Oh, because we have all these athletes, and this is what happens. We either give God the glory, and we live our lives for that, or we end up trying to take some of that for ourselves. And every time we try to take some of that for ourselves, We ignore who Jesus is, and we ignore what he has called us to do. That's not my point. My point isn't to try to get that glory, to get attention, to get everybody, here, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished. It's all to try to point to who Jesus is. So think about that. The last thing that was accomplished in your life, who got credit for that? Maybe I'll use that word. Who got credit for that? Oh, look what I did. Look what I accomplished. Wow, aren't I outstanding? Okay. I'm a sports guy. So I've watched all these athletes. And what happens after the end? Aren't I amazing? Look what I accomplished. Look what I did. And sometimes you will hear in post-game interviews people actually thanking God. You will hear that. It's rare at times, but it's refreshing to hear, because you know what they've discovered I'm not the point. I'm not the point. I'm not here on this stage because somehow I need to capture something for me. I'm here on this stage, and God put me on this stage so that ultimately I could push and point people to Him. I love watching those. Those are so refreshing because it's like, wow, they get it. They understand it. They understand they're not the point. They're just here to point to the point. So the last thing you accomplished, did you allow that moment to give you an opportunity to point to the point? Or was it just tempting to just kind of take a little credit for yourself? Point to yourself a little bit. Yes, I know I'm awesome. Look what I accomplished, right? What did you do in that moment? What did you do in that moment? Did you take something for yourself, or did you use it as a moment to reflect and remind everybody, no, I'm only here because of Jesus. That's it. I'm here because of Jesus. Everything I have is because of Him. All my gifts, all my abilities, all my talents, it's all because of Him, and I just want to point to the points. So I want us to think about that, because we live our lives, I believe, so differently. If it wasn't about how can I get credit, how can I get noticed, self-promotion is a huge thing today. It is. It is a huge thing. And, right, to watch almost anything, somebody's going to self-promote what their book, their album, their this, their that. Because self-promotion is a big thing. I got to promote myself. I got to get everybody looking here. And when you watch people just simply live their lives to point to the point, it's absolutely amazing. So are you living your life to point to the point? Is what God is doing in you and through you, are you using that to point to Him? Just, I think, a big question. It's when we understand our purpose, it just gives everything a lot of clarity for us. I'm not here to take anything for myself. I'm here to always point to Jesus. So here's the statement we're going to leave you with this morning. That following Jesus is living a life that glorifies God, that continues to point always to the point. That's what it looks like following Jesus. That is all that Peter and the rest of the apostles, that is simply the way they lived. How do I point to what Jesus did, to what Jesus has done? And they constantly did that over and over and over and over again, because that's what they were supposed to do. So, what is the purpose of your life? What is the purpose of your life? I want you to think about the callings and where God has you and what God wants you to do and how God has gifted you. But I always want us to remember that we get worn out, we get tired. This whole idea last week where we just said you're tired because of everything going on, because we forget that we are supposed to be pointing to the point and supposed to live our lives to glorify God. So that's all we're doing this morning. We just want to pray together, and we just want to ask God to help us to do this. This is challenging. It is very tempting to take glory for ourselves, to get people to notice us, to have things pointing at us. And so it becomes a huge challenge to remember in those days and in those times, I don't need to do that. I just need to constantly point to the point. And my life needs to glorify God. So let's pray together, and then we are going to worship together as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, across this room, would you just help us understand our point is to always point to you. Forgive us when we don't do that. In fact, you've probably already reminded us of areas we haven't done a good job at that. We try to take something for ourselves. And in doing so, we actually muddy the waters of our callings and ultimately our purpose and what we're supposed to be doing. I thank you because you have gifted every single person in this room. Every single person. I thank you because you have put a calling on their life. And maybe some don't understand what that is in this season, but you have done that. And I pray that you would help them, that that would be revealed to them and they would know what you have called them to do. But ultimately, in whatever we do, may we be pointing to you. Because we forget that. We try to take something for ourselves. And we don't want to do that. And we don't want to live that way anymore. So as we worship together one more time this morning, Father, as we point to the point and we offer our praise to you, because you're the only one worthy of it, would you remind us of how much you love us and how much you want to work in a powerful way in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.